Feel me? Life is a pickle with cold cuts. No deal, all in a stew like who's lunch? They break fast, we fast break, now get back.
I am improving. Don't tell me that I'm the problem, cause you lack solution. I told God if it's a job, then I'm the one to do it. Told him I won't ever stop till everybody murder on me. I know they want it.
Yeah, these are not some ordinary little kids.
Your idols are deaf, don't hold your breath. Who do you call now?
You are the king that was mistreated. You didn't give up on me. You came to set me free. No one else would need a call on. Now my sins and tears are all gone.
Bookkeeper247.com. Welcome back to Behind the Mic Podcast with my husband and your host, Daryl Kemp. Thank you for joining us. Make sure you visit thebookkeeper247.com to catch up on all of our new content. Be sure to sign up for the newsletter as well to keep up with the hottest artists in the game. On the fifth episode of Season 2, Behind the Mic, Daryl sits down with upcoming Christian hip-hop artist Q Flow, who's the cover artist for Rapzilla's Playlist and the 2021 nominee for Rapzilla's Freshman List. They discuss topics such as his testimony, some of his musical influences, the divorce of his parents, and his transition experience from a Baptist church to a church of non-denomination. The interview will have plenty of laughs while Q Flow and Daryl have a blast. Don't forget, subscribe to our podcast for the most in-depth show in hip-hop, Behind the Mic, with my husband and your host, Daryl Kemp. Let's go! Let's go! Let's go!
Hey, what's good? It's your boy TC. You're now rocking with TheBookkeeper247.com. Hey, man, go check out my new single, Suburbia, man. That's out on all digital platforms. Honestly, I'm just busting pride wide open on this one, man, exposing all his lies and empty promises or whatnot. But, yeah, man, go check it out. Yes, sir.
All right, welcome to the ride where we don't want nothing on the book. We're trying to get in the book, the Lamb's Book of Life, that is. Follow us as we follow him as we navigate through this world changing the culture for God through media. I want to give a special shout out to my lovely wife for that beautiful intro. Buckle up, family, as we welcome Q Flow to the ride. What up, what's up, and what it do, Q Flow?
Hey, man, what's going on, family? Thank you for having me here, first and foremost, man. And I hope you're having a good day, man. I hope you're doing well.
Yes, sir. Amen. Yeah, we'd love to have you. And thank you for being a guest on the show, man. And hope your day is going well as well.
Thank
so
you.
Q, man, we don't like to call them fans, we call them family. So let the family know where you're from.
I live in Uptown Philly. I was born in North Philly, family out in West, so you know, I'm a little spread out, but all in all, from Philly, PA, East Side, you know how it is, man.
Yes, sir. Look, I've been, when I was listening to that War Drum, right?
Mm-hmm.
Your album that you got out, right? I heard North Philly in it. So, North Philly, let me run my memory bank. Y'all known for lyrics. Am I right or am I wrong?
Right.
Yes, sir. And when I listen to your music, right, I even think I heard a bar where you said you bringing rap back, right?
Mm-hmm.
what's the difference that you think in, how would you describe rap, like bringing rap back?
Well, I just wanted to bring, you know, be the resurgence for lyrical rap to come back, you know, bring the punchlines back, that, you know, battle rap type of feel. I wanted to be a part of that story, you know, a part of that, you know, when people do that group, that list, that, you know, they make a top 10, top 15 guys, you know, who brought the lyrics to the game. I want to be included in that. So, you know, when I wrote that lyric, that whole album's about 2-3 years old. When I wrote that, you know, Christian rap was kind of, it was just too much melodic. It was just too melodic. And I'm just like, yo, where the rappers at, man? Where the bar guys at? Because that's my lane. That's what I like. No disrespect to the melodic guys, but it's like, it's too many of y'all. I'm hearing it at every corner. Like, it's too many of y'all. I need to hear bars. So, you know, at the time when I wrote that, you know, that's all I was thinking. Like, yo, we got to bring these bars back, man.
Yes, sir. And I agree with you because I like the rap. I like the bars, too. I claim San Antonio for the home, but I live in Birmingham, right? Mm-hmm. I'm kind of a bar head. So I love metaphor. I love bars. I love lyricism, right? That melodic tone, like you say, no disrespect to the other guys doing their thing, right? But I can only listen to so much singing sometimes, right? You know, especially like, let's say I'm on my treadmill or trying to get something in or in the yard, right? You know, I don't want to hear no singing, right? You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm. The time and place for everything. And yes, sir. It's just too much singing.
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir. So tell me, man, because, you know, one, I didn't know that War Drum was 2-3 years old, right? Mm-hmm. But I've been riding with it, right? Really like it. I think when we met up, you sent me a Layover, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I love how you went through that and you had the symbolization of the airport and the Layover, but your message was so strong. Can you break your message down for the family in that Layover?
Well, the point of the Layover was just like I wanted to paint life, like life itself, as the airport. And, you know, a Layover is just an obstacle. You know, when you go to the airport, you got layovers like, I'm not going to make it to where I need to be, blah, blah, blah. But it's like, bro, like, you just got to have, you know, just be patient. You're going to get there. The whole inspiration, though, for the song came from my personal experience. Like, me and the missus took a trip to DR. We had a layover. And she was just worried, like, yo, because we had to take two different planes. So, like, we had to go up to Canada, then from Canada to DR. And she was just worried, like, yo, we are not going to make that second flight. And I'm just chilling because it's like, yo, this is my first flight in a long time. I'm cool. Like, we chilling. And, you know, we finally got on the quick flight to Canada. And then we made it to our flight to DR. But not only did we make it to DR, they upgraded our seats for free because of that layover in Canada. So, you know, it was just like, bro, like, that's a blessing, man. That's a blessing. So I wanted to paint the narrative like, yo, like, yeah, obstacles is just a layover. Like, you're going to get to where you need to go in God's time, you know, like just have faith, be patient. You got it. Stay strong. That was basically it.
All right. Amen. Yeah, I like that. I like that. The layover. Yeah, that was one of the ones I was like, man, this young man right here spitting, right? This is what I like to hear, right? Bring it all around for me, right? Mm-hmm. So what was it like, man? Because I've traveled to a lot of places. Both of my parents was in the Air Force, and I was in the Army. And I've been all around, but I have never been to Philadelphia. So through your lyrics and on some of your songs, I hear you talk about Philly. So tell the family what life experience and what Philly like.
You know, aside from, like, you know, what you hear in the news, because Philly is part of that group of cities that's very violent, and you know, that's pretty scary, especially when you've seen it firsthand. But outside of that, like, this is a very beautiful city. Is a very cultural It's very like you can find a lot of things. Like, there's a lot of joy and activity you can find, you know, just by being smart and traveling in places you're supposed to travel, you know. Mm-hmm. Like, I had a friend tell me, like, he came to Philly for the first time. He was like, bro, I never want to go back. And I'm like, why? He was like, where I was at looked so desolate, and it was almost like a third world country, and like people were just running up on our cars and stuff. And I'm like, where specifically did you go? He was like, Southwest Philly. I'm like, bro, I don't even go to Southwest Philly. What are you doing? Like, I don't even go. You know, no shame to anybody who lives in Southwest. You know, not to knock on your situation, but it's like, I don't even travel there. I wouldn't tell a tourist to go travel there. I wouldn't tell somebody visiting the city to go travel there. But like, you know, you got it's very artsy. Like, you got places like Old City and University City. West Philly is very cultural. If you West Philly's pretty big, so there's like a certain half of West Philly that's very cultural, and the other half that's just, you know, a pretty pretty nice neighborhood. But it's like I said, it's very cultural, it's pretty artsy. There's a lot of things that you can do down here. There's a lot of fun and activities you can have down here. You know, and I just feel like the, you know, all the bad, the violence and all that overtakes and outshines the good parts. But it's a very beautiful city out here, man. I love it. I hate when it snows though. We get a lot of snow out here, man. Like, I'm used to it, you know, but I'm tired of it. Like, I want to leave. And that's the only, like, that's it. I want to leave Philly because of the snow. I'm tired of the snow. I'm tired of sliding. I'm tired of shoveling. I want to, you know what I mean? I love being here. I love telling people I'm from Philly, but I have to go. Like,
man, you saying them chains ain't working in the snow up there?
I don't have chains. We don't get snow chains. Like, the city is prepared for weather like this, so they just clean up the roads and they salt the streets down and all that. Mm-hmm. But still, just be like, we get that one cold night where all the water just freezes on us easily. And now I'm sliding on my way home from work or something. So I hate the snow. If we didn't have such bad weather, like, I probably would reconsider it. But that's the only reason why I want to leave Philly is because of the snow. But besides that, you know, for anybody wanting to visit, like, there's a lot of stuff to do. It's pretty artsy. It's pretty, you know, you got your little hippie vibes and all that. The food is great, you know. That's it. That's really it, man. Like, yeah, that's really it.
Yeah, I had a fun to go
vigilant,
to.
Though. You have to be vigilant. Like, don't go traveling. Oh, let's go see the hood or whatever. Like, don't go traveling there. Like, that's not smart. Like, use your brain. But besides that, it's really a lot of fun to have out here, especially when the world is, like, fully open. Like, right now in this pandemic, ain't nothing to do. But when the world is fully open, there's a lot to do.
Oh, yes, sir. Yeah, I would imagine, man. I know not making the news. See, you know, Birmingham, we be in that top five in the homicide rate every year, right? Not because we as big as you all, but by the size of this area, you know, we have a lot of homicide, you know, right. A lot of murders, right? So I get it. There's some things to do in Birmingham. You know, but we just a little small town. But hey, it's some parts of Birmingham you don't want to travel to, right? Mm-hmm. But it's some nice stuff you want to do, right, too, you know, that we can do here. So I get exactly what you're saying about North Philly. But y'all were just on the news during the election, right? You know, I was looking at y'all and they was waiting on the votes, right? And you talk about the cultural presence of Philadelphia, and it looked like y'all stood up when it came to that election. Did you watch that?
I actually didn't see it. I try not to focus so much on the political stuff going on out here. I know Philly was 10 toes down with it though. I know that for sure, because, you know, people want to come down, because like you got some of the areas where the MAGA, where it comes pretty MAGA-ish in Philadelphia. So, you know, it gets weird, but I know Philly was on their square and they didn't let nobody back them down. I know that much, but I just try not to watch and pay attention to the politics so much, just because it's so negative. And there's a lot of negative stuff that we're dealing with outside of politics. I if there's one thing, like I'm gonna control what negativity I'm gonna be focused on. So if I have to be, and it's the political stuff. So I didn't watch it, but I know we was 10 toes down with it.
Yeah, hey man, I'm not about like you, man. Really, to be completely honest, you know, I tuned in, I watched it. I probably know more about political policy now than I ever have in my life. But when it was over with, man, I'm like, hey, I'm about to, matter of fact, I kind of tune out to the news, fam. You know, mm-hmm. I get the updates on my phone, but everything is so negative. And then, like on the news, you got 25 minutes of these horrible stories, and then you got 5 minutes at the end for a good story, right? You right. know,
yeah. And on Twitter, so, I mean, you get on Twitter, you done seen what the TV showed anyway.
That's true too. That's true too. Yeah, old social media, man. So, man, what we're gonna do right now? We'll be back after these messages.
Yo, 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 it's your boy YJO with Enoch Flow Records, letting you know if you need beats, engineering, graphic design, website creation, Enoch Flow is the way to go. I'm gonna tell you why. Beats and engineering. All beats are produced by yours truly, exclusively with no leases. And I'll even throw engineering in there for you. Graphic design and website creation. Bring your next single, EP, or album artwork to life with DC Graphics, led by Damian Clinton, best graphic designer in the business. That's no cap. Get all these services and more only at Enoch Flow Records. Peace.
If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. First of all, it's free. Yes, I said it, free. Secondly, there's creation tools that will allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer when the inspiration hits you to record. Thirdly, Anchor will distribute your podcast, meaning it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and many more. Talk about a time saver. And last but not least, you can make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. So there you have it. Everything you need to make a podcast all in one. Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started. Can't wait to hear what you create with Anchor.
All right, welcome back to the Ride family, where we are sitting down and chopping it up with Philly's finest Q Flow. So, man, what I like to do in this segment, Q Flow, man, I want to get into the your salvation story. If you want to share with the family, can you please share?
Yes, okay. Sir. Well, here's my thing. I was always in church from a kid to my high school to college. I was always in church. I was baptized young. I wanted to be baptized because I wanted to take communion. That's all it was. But like in a Baptist church, it was like, no, you're gonna get baptized. Like, you're not baptized, you ain't taking communion. I'm like, yo, I just want the cracker and grape juice. You know what I'm saying? So they, you know, they sat me down with my dad since he was a deacon, and they had me learning, like, you know, the Holy Trinity and do you believe the Lord died for your sins and rose in the third day, all that. And, you know, they made sure that I knew what I was getting baptized for and not just for crackers and grape juice. So, you know, I got baptized young. I've been in choir and all that. So I knew the Lord all my life. If anything, like, I knew he was for real in my life when it's kind of funny. I had little relationship issues or whatever, and I remember I used to work at Walmart pushing carts. So I'm waiting till I'm done. It's like 11. I'm done. I'm chilling by the bus, and I just heard the Lord tell me, like, yo, like, I just heard it in my ear, was like, because I was already upset. Like, me and the shorty I was dealing with at the time, you know, we probably broke up for like the eighth time or whatever. I done lost count. And I just remember the Lord was like, yo, but like the way he said it was like in my voice, you know, it wasn't like a deep, you know, it wasn't Morgan Freeman or whatever. It was in my voice. It was like, yo, open your Bible app, go to this book, this chapter, this verse. And the first thing it started out with, young man. I said, oh, snap. All right. I had to call my youth pastor. I'm just like, I need you to hear this. Like, but yeah. So that's how I knew, like, all right, he's really paying attention for real. Mm-hmm. But like I always knew who the Lord was, always believed in him. You know, I was always saved. That's it. Yeah.
Amen.
It's a short story. Because I wasn't, I didn't have a bad upbringing or anything, you know? Like, my parents, I had both my parents in my life, you know? They got divorced, but, like, I still seen my dad, you know? Yeah. So it wasn't like I wasn't without a father or anything. Like, so, I don't have no bad upbringing. I was really blessed, you know?
Mm-hmm. So
that was it.
Did the divorce play, because my parents got divorced, and did it play any factor in your life, and does it still play a factor in your life?
Nah, not really. I was young when they got divorced, and I didn't know what divorce was. So they was just like, you know, like I got three siblings. I'm the middle child. So I got my little brother. Me and him was like glue when we was younger, and then our sister, she was already going to college. So like, I didn't know what divorce was, and all I knew was, your dad's gonna live at your uncle's duplex. I'm like, okay. And we were still seeing him, you know? So it was just like, all right. I guess the magnitude didn't really hit until like the visits became less and less. And, you know, it was just like, yo, like, dad, you're not gonna come see us or whatever. But, you know, that all worked out. He came to my graduation. I used to play football before high school started. He came to the games. I'm planning a concert. He's drumming for me in my concert coming up. So yeah, like I'm still, you know. And then my mom, they both got remarried, and I love both my step parents, man. But my stepdad, he really, you know, whatever my dad didn't do, my stepdad did, you know.
Oh, amen.
And my mom. We stopped being Baptist after that, and my mom started going to what's now my home church now, and it's non-denominational. She made sure, like, even like, you know, between the, you know, not seeing my dad no more and her getting remarried, between that, you know, they had like a program for young men, and it was hosted by all, you know, a couple deacons, assistant pastor and a couple deacons, and they made sure, my mom made sure we was in there too, because we didn't have no father figure for a little while. And, you know, and then she got remarried, my stepdad, you know, he did the rest, and we was good, you know. Yeah, so it didn't like that's what I'm saying, like, I was really blessed, man. Like, even like now, looking back at it now, like, I was just really blessed because like I didn't lack a father figure at all, you know. So it didn't really, like I said, like, the impact only hit me a little bit when it was like the visitation, like we stopped seeing my dad the older we got, we stopped going over and all that. But like I said, like it was cool after a while, like I can't speak for my siblings, but for me personally, it didn't hit me that bad. It was just like, all right, whatever, it is what it is, and we good now, you know. We done, like I said, he drumming for me in 2 weeks. We good. Amen. Like, you know what I mean? I love my father. I love my stepfather. I love my mom, and I love my stepmom. It's all love with me.
Amen. So let me ask you, I noticed when I got older, right? Like my real pops, you know, that's my struggle, right? You know, not mad at him, forgave him, but he never been there and on point, right? You feel me? So he from Corona, Queens, but my step pops, step pops, I call my step pops dad, right? You feel me? Him and my mom got married, and man, so this is the voice I'm talking about, you know. Boy, I took that hard, Q Flow. I think I was like in the eighth grade, you know, and then with them being in the Air Force, when we went to San Antonio, I forgot where he got stationed. So I kind of, you know, knew that he wasn't right around the corner, right? You feel me? You know, but man, the summertime, we going to grandma's, we seeing them, you know, the whole nine, everything like that. But what I had on my mind to ask you was, like when your dad wasn't coming around, right? Mm-hmm. Like when I got older, and shout out to my mom and dad, they probably listened to the podcast, but when I got older, right, and I started having my own problems with women, right, mm-hmm. you know, I kind of was like, well, dad, hey, I get it, you know, I get it why you may not have came around, and it's all good. Did you have that type of outlook on why Pops wasn't showing up?
No. Mm-hmm. I did have a talk with my mom though, because mm-hmm. You know, for some strange reason, I like, this was recent too, I want to say like last year, low key, for some strange reason I just sat back and I thought about it, and you know, I'm talking to the missus, and I'm, you know, my fiance, I'm talking to her, and I'm like, yo, like I'm really grateful for my mom. Like I don't know where the thought even came from. And she's like, you okay? And I'm like, nah. I was like, I'm cool, but I want to go talk to my mom. So I went to my mom. Like, I just drove to my mom. She only lived about 10 minutes from me. I drove to my mom's, and I just went to tell her. And I'm just like, mom, I really thank you for putting up, like, you know, just for what you did and all that. And she's like, where are all this coming from? I'm like, I don't know. I don't know. But, you know, she did. So, like, you know, I'm like, I'm 28. So this, I was about 27. When she was telling, I was 27 when she was telling me this, and she was like, well, you know, let me just tell you my, you know, the side of the story you don't know. So, you know, it was kind of, it kind of sucked what she told me, but it was, but at this point, like I said, I've already forgiven my dad, so I'm not mad anymore. You know, me and him have a solid relationship. It's not, you know, it's not what we used to be. I feel like I'm closer with my stepdad than I am with my dad, and that's no problem to that. That's no slight to him or whatever. But it's just like, you know, we already have a solid relationship. So when she told me all these things, I wasn't mad, you know? And I think that's why she waited, because I was mature enough to handle it. Because I wasn't mad when she told me, you know, why he stopped, you know, coming around, picking us up or whatever. Because, like, we used to have a routine with my dad. It was a solid routine. And it was like on Tuesdays, he'll take us swimming. On Thursdays, we'll go to his house. And then every other weekend, it was like it was like one weekend with my mom, one weekend with him, and that was it. So, you know, it, like, when the routine stopped, it just threw us off. But, you know, we ain't know why, but it was cool, you know, when we figured it out. I mean, when she told me, I don't know if my brother and my sister know, but when she told me, I was just like, oh, all right, well, it is what it is. You know, I mean, like I said, I was over there to thank her for taking care of me, you know. So
amen. And I think, just like what you're saying, you had already forgave your dad, right? And I think that's the best part of forgiving, that we miss a lot of time, you know, by not forgiving people. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So, because when we forgive, I feel like God gives us the time to heal our heart, right? You know what I'm saying? That forgiving somebody, what I'm saying, forgiving somebody is more for us than it is for them, you know?
Yeah, I definitely agree. Because I didn't harbor hatred, but I was mad. Like, when it, like, because my brother was already like, man, I don't care anymore, whatever, dog. And I'm like, nah, you know, I still kept the hope. It was like, nah, it's going to change. But when it didn't change, I was just like, forget, like, I was mad. Mad was like one day where I was just like heated, boiling point. And I was, but, like I said, like, you learn as you grow. And
yes, sir.
I learned to forgive him, and I felt better after I forgave him too. So,
yes, sir. You know. Amen. Amen for forgiveness, man. So what was the transition like to, well, what's the name of your church you attend?
I go to Bethel Deliverance International Church.
All right. So what was the transition like? Because I know that's a non-denominational church, right? Mm-hmm. So what was the transition like from Baptist to non-domination?
You are the first person to ask this, man. And I've always wondered what I would say. Like, first off, this church, my old church, okay, no slight to my old church, because this is my grandfather's church.
Yes,
you
know?
So like when you go to the building, well, it's not, the building's gone now, but like at the building, you'll see it, my full name, Quentin Davis, but it'll be the first because I'm the third. So you'll see Quentin, Bishop Quentin Davis. So like, it was kind of weird. It's like, you know, it's like, it was cool. like my old church, like I love them. That's my family. But man, that church was boring, man. It was so boring. Same routine. And my dad was the head of the deacon board and the drummer. So we there all three services. Yo, I used to get mad going to two services. When they hit us with three, I'm like, nah, son, I can't do this. No. The thing was, I went to three. I think I did three services at my home church one time, and I was still home by like 9.
Mm.
We did three services here. We was home at like 11. I'm like, yo, we can't, mind you, this church is in the middle. It's in the heart of North Philly too. And we live, like I said, we live in like uptown Philly, which is like closer to the, you know, it's like on the edge of Philly. Once you cross the street, you automatically in the burbs, whole new jurisdiction. You're in the burbs. So that's like, right. Yeah. So that, oh my goodness. My family church was just so, it was just so boring, man. It was so boring. We tried to find ways to get out of sitting there because we had like this little empty space. We had like this little empty space in the back of the building, and we called it. It was where they held the baptisms at, because like the floor would lift up and there's the pool, but like it was just an empty space. So it was an empty space, and I lie to you not, it might have used to be like an old auditorium or something, because there was a stage there, but all that was in there was a couch and this big old TV. And mind you, this is you know, late 90s, so yeah, this is, you know, late 90s, early 2000s, so we ain't had no flat screens or nothing. This is an old TV, and we just sitting there fiddling with the knob trying to find something to watch. It's a Sunday, nothing's on TV. We trying to find something to watch. That church was so boring. The food made it worth it, man. My aunt, my dad's sister, my aunt make a mean cheesecake, and I love cheesecake, man. She made a mean cheesecake, man. The food made it all worthwhile, man. But nah, that but all in all though, like it was just boring. And you know, it's Baptist, so the preacher, He's singing the sermon, you know?
Yeah.
Chapter 1, verse 3. Like, he is singing the sermon, man. But not... yeah, right? It was just like, dog, we gotta go. It was the same routine every time, man. Every time. We singing old hymns. Oh, my... Oh, out the book, man. It was just like, yo, we got the choir robe on. The choir was called, get my last name is Davis. The choir was called the Davis Chorus. I'm like, yo, y'all gotta get me out of here, man. This thing is wrapped around my family too much, man. But nah. And then we'll have the occasional trip to Baltimore to visit the one family church we got out there. Mm-hmm. And the only thing that made that trip fun was taking the coach bus, going to Big Boy and getting breakfast. But it was like the one day we missed the bus. So my dad had to drive us, and I'm just like, bro, this ain't, why are we here, man? Like, yo, take me home, man. Take me home. We couldn't go to Big Boy. We went to McDonald's. I'm like, bro, I can't get no pancakes. Like, we can't take the bus back. I'm like, nah, son. But anyway, but that was it, man. It was just so boring. We go to this new church. My mom was just like, look, son, I want y'all to go. Y'all gonna love it. I'm just like, all right, mom. All right. Cause my dad stopped going to that church for a while and went to this other church that was even more boring. We ain't getting no food. We only did one service, but we ain't getting no food. We ain't know nobody in there. The first church, like, that's literally my family. It's my dad, his kids, his sister, her grandkids and their kids. So it was just cousins and cousins, and that's it. You know, but this other church we went to on the side, we ain't know them. He was just getting paid to drum because my dad, he, like I say, a drummer. He's been drumming all his life, so he's getting paid to drum, and he drumming there. So anyway, all right. So we at the new church. My mom's like, yeah, y'all, I think y'all gonna love it. The pastor's funny, blah 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 blah. I'm like, all right, we just like, all right, mom, we ain't no choice, but we just like, all right, mom, you know, she's back in church. It's cool. Man, that was the first, that first day was the greatest day of my life. I was in there cracking up. My pastor is so funny, man. He is so funny. Like, but he's a genius though. Like he's so wise, man. But like, he is hilarious. So they had, it was that, it was a huge church too. I walked in there like, yo, what in the world is so many people in there, you know? And I was just like, yo, this is crazy. Then, you know, we started going there for a while. And actually, we've been doing that every Sunday. Then my mom comes up and she was just like, I signed y'all up for the summer camp. And I'm like, summer camp? They got summer camp? Man, that camp was so fun. I had so much fun. Only went for 2 years, though, because I was already old. And they stopped at age 12. No, hold on. I might be wrong. I might have only, Yeah. I went for 2 years because they stopped at age 13. So I went when I was, my first year I was 11, my second year I was 12. But when I turned 13, I couldn't go. My registration, something happened or whatever. My brother was able to go, but I couldn't go. So it was just like, all right. So I don't know what I did that summer, honestly. But anyway, so that was that. They, like I said, they had the program. It was called Josiah Ministries. And it was Josiah Ministries for the young men and Princess Ministry for the young girls. And they had us in separate buildings. Separate buildings, mind you. Buildings. Not separate rooms. Separate buildings. Because we had the whole, we got the whole strip.
Oh, wow.
The whole strip is ours. Except for like a travel agency. But it's just one little building. There's a whole strip because my church used to be a appliance store. And they bought the appliance store. That's the main sanctuary. Then you got, you know, the annex building. And then there's another building after that. And then you got to walk down the street to the office administration building. But anyway, so yeah, my church, yeah, it's one of those churches. It's dope. So yeah, you got that. So boom, we learned, you know, they teaching us how to grow up and be young men, and you know, who believe in God, young believers. And then as that went on, like they everything has a season. So they transitioned and they gave us a youth pastor. And my mom was like, I want y'all to start going to youth church, make some friends and all that. I'm like, all right, cool. And we went there. We ain't really, we made a couple, like I knew a couple people because of camp, but it wasn't, you know, whatever. Time goes on, like we get a new pastor. I don't know. I'm like, who's our new pastor? I'm thinking it's going to be, you know, the pastor I call my uncle because he's really like my uncle. But anyway, so I thought it was going to be him. And it ended up being somebody else. And she, when she became my pastor, that's when everything, like, I started doing everything. Like, I learned about Christian hip hop when I had my first youth pastor. He's a pastor at, he has his own, like, we have other buildings. And he has one of the buildings in Northeast Philly. That's where he preaches at now. But it's still all Bethel, you know?
Okay.
So yeah, so that's where like my brother and all my family, they go there now because it's more geared towards the younger folk versus the main sanctuary down the street from my house. So when I learned about Christian rap through him, I started Christian rap. I started rapping through him, but I didn't really do much with it until our woman pastor, Pastor Brenda. I didn't start elevating until I linked up with her and she started running things. So, but yeah, so she started running things. And when she did it, they didn't separate us no more. They brought us all together. So like we just had youth Bible study. It wasn't Josiah and Princess. It was youth Bible study. All the teens, we gonna meet up in this one building and have Bible study. And it was dope. It was dope. We ended up forming a choir. We ended up going to we went to this event called Battle Cry. Have you ever heard of it?
I never heard of.
It's like a youth conference. It's a 3-day conference, and that event was so fun. But we stopped going because they had some. So I can't even talk about it. It was dark. They had it was some shady things going on. Not like, you know, child predator stuff, not like that, but it was some other shady stuff. And we found that it was on I think it was on like CNN or for one of them channels. It was big. Okay. But anyway, mm-hmm. But those events were dope, man. Like, you know, I just feel like if I never left my family church, I would not have experienced any of this. Because I ain't know about no Christian rap over there. Because we was Baptists. We singing hymns, and that's it. But over here, like, it's right. You know, it's contemporary. You know, they got, like, five different choirs, you know? And including a youth choir. Mm-hmm. You know, they had us over there, like it was like every third Sunday, everybody going to the main sanctuary. The kids is going to sing. Then the teenagers is going to sing. And then the pastor going to preach. But then they switch it up. It was like, yeah, kids going to sing. Teens going to sing. We're going to have two teenagers from the youth church. A guy and a girl are going to do little quick mini sermonettes. You know what I mean? So they had us up there preaching for like a good 5 minutes. Sometimes the pastor's like, what am I here for? They just gave y'all the word, you know? So like, yeah. So yeah, but at that time, like, it was dope. And it really helped me build, like, because I used to be a shy, timid kid. Like, I wouldn't even look you in, like, I wouldn't look you in the eye at nothing. Just because, like, you know, elementary school, middle school, I was, like, bullied and all that. So, like, you know, I was just shy, timid, quiet. But as I grew up in that church, like, I was confident. You know what I mean? They had me, Q, you going to be in charge of this. Q, yo, y'all want to talk to her? Y'all holler at Q or holler at this person. You know, I ended up working for my church too for a little while, doing tutoring for the kids for after school.
Oh, amen.
Yeah. Amen. And but on the side, she would have me doing like some administration stuff. Like, look, battle cry coming up. I want you to, you know, make this Excel spreadsheet for me real quick. I want you to the list of rooms. We need the list. We need the rooms. Three, four teenagers to a room, and they chaperone. I want you to go do that. I want you to do the little price list for what we need, blah, blah, blah. So, like, you know, they really put me in, like a prominent role, just like, yo. And, like, yo, what? So, like, you know, it was just like, yeah, it was dope, man. It was dope. It was, like, to the point where, like, sometimes, you know, I don't know why he did it. I never questioned him. But, like, my pastor, he'll just call me up out of nowhere. Like, we in the middle of church. I'm chilling. Front row, listening to the word, and he just like, come here, Q. And I'm just like, me? he's like, come here. And I'm like, all right. And then, you know, he just had me like, he's like, look, this your graduation. Lay your hands on it. I'm like, I didn't want to though, because I'm just like, I take that serious, man. I can't be laying hands on somebody and I don't know what I'm doing. You that's know, right. It's like just like you don't, you know, just like they say, like, don't take communion if you're not, you know what I mean? Because
that's right.
You asking for it. So it's like, I didn't want to do it. I'm like, you sure? He was like, go ahead. It's all right. Go ahead. I'm like, all right, man. So I'm going ahead, you know? And like, and it was funny though, because like somebody said, like, yo, he always do this when your mom not here. Because my mom's a nurse. So sometimes she got to go, you know, she get called in. And it's like, he always do this when your mom not here, yo. So I'm like, mom, stop not coming to church, man. But anyway, man, like the transit, it was like I said, it was just such a crazy transition because, like, you know, I didn't even get a chance to sing. Like, I used to want to sing when I was younger, just because I felt like I could do it. You know, I can't. Like, people try and get me to sing now. I can't sing now. I feel like there's too much bass in my voice. I can't do it. I'm sorry, but like. When I was younger and I just had the energy for it. It was like, yo, I want to sing. Like, can I sing? I'm asking my dad, like, I want to sing. Like, I couldn't even get a song at my old church to laying hands and doing sermonettes and leading, you know, not only being choir director, but sometimes it's like, you got to sing this song. So it was like, oh, all right, you know, leading choir, you know, and being able to rap in the main sanctuary sometimes. But yeah, man, the transition, it was great, man. And I thank God for it, man. I learned a lot growing up. I experienced a lot. I experienced a lot of things I know for sure I would not have experienced at my family church. And there's no slight to them, but it's just like, bro, like, I got to grow, you know? And I did a lot of growing up in that, you know, in my church now, man. So, yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
See, I said, you know, nobody's ever asked me that question, man. So, like, you know, I get the rambling, man. But yeah, man.
Oh,
I love it, man.
All right, so we'll be back after these messages.
Yes, sir. You already know what's going on, man. Say, man, shine on me, the soul of the city. I'm locked in to the bookkeeper 24/7. We in there. It's up there and it's stuck there. You hear me?
Thank you for joining us. Remember, you can help us by liking, sharing, commenting, and subscribing. For all of the YouTube listeners, make sure you hit the alert notifications. Also, if you would like to donate a monetary blessing, go to the description located inside our Anchor link or our PayPal link. The donations will help our growth regarding better equipment so that we can spread the word of God even further. Thank you again, and until next time, God bless. God bless. God bless. God bless. God bless.